Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the first reading, the first chapter of He Who Knows Himself Knows His Lord. Man araf naf sahu araf rabbahu. This book is written by Sheikh Mohammed Sayyid al-Jamal Arifai Ashadulia of Quds. May Allah bless him and sanctify his secret. Translated by Amani Shalabi. Edited by Amina al-Jamal. This revised printing is 2009. This book has 24 chapters of a little over 160 pages. We'll open with the Fatiha and move into the first chapter. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the universally merciful, the singularly compassionate. This first chapter is entitled, I Am Traveling to My Lord. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Praise belongs to Allah who sent down the secrets of His essence, of that, with His power. With His power he ascribed the spirit to the body, enabling the spirit to manifest its particular qualities of the names. The spirit, Ruh, was then hidden in the dark psychological layers of the individualized self, al-nafsaniya. These veils cause the self to forget its originally ascribed perfection, and it began to incline toward lower desires and to indulge in appetites and to become used to particular habits or patterns of behavior. Until the individual self no longer remembered its origin, nor thought about the originally ascribed lofty principles. Then Allah sent messengers and they had the same image, but at the same time they manifested His hidden image. Within this body that was formed by layers of darkness, Allah lit the lamp of His domain in Al-Malakut, so that the spirit, the Ruh, could witness how it deviates from its original perfect nature, and realize that it has the potential for perfection and the possibility of attaining lofty ranks. With this realization, the spirit begins to strive and to exert its utmost effort, asking the originator, Al-Mubdi, to remove the dark veils, as well as the luminous ones, so that the original essence remained. It is in this way that the originator comes closer to the spirit, as the spirit, Ruh, approaches him, and he enraptures the spirit, making him forget old patterns of behaviors and unhealthy habits. As the spirit arrives at the singular presence, the presence of oneness, al-hadrat al-ahadiya, its qualities are consumed in His qualities, and no trace remains fighting lordship because of the perfection of servitude. The footnote to explain this idea of the perfection of servitude is in The Path to Allah Most High, pages 24 to 27. Ubudiyah, slavehood, which I'll read. Ubudiyah, slavehood, from Path to Allah Most High. The word slavehood, ubudiyah, is derived from the verb to worship, abada. Slavehood has no relationship. It's the pure, essential quality of the slave. The most debased of the debased are those who associate themselves to a debased thing or person and derive honor from it. This is why the earth is called the debased, because the debased ones seek it. The slave with the truth, al-haq, with the Lord in his state of slavehood, ubdiyah, is like the relationship between the shadow and the person against a background of lights. As you draw closer to the light, the shadow grows in length. There is no way to draw nearer to Allah except with your attributes. If the seeker, the al-murid, knows that his sheikh is Abdullah, the slave of Allah, with complete slavehood, ubudiyah, then surely the gates of his happiness have been opened to him. This way the seeker becomes divested of everything and turns toward the side of the truth, al-haq, in the way that the sheikh is totally divested. When the seeker knows this of his sheikh, then he has total reliance on Allah and not on the sheikh. He looks at the sheikh to see what Allah does with him in his changing states. The seeker pays attention to the orders of prohibition given to him by the sheikh, knowing that they come from Allah, spoken on the tongue of the sheikh. The seeker knows in himself, through his sheikh, what the sheikh knows in himself, that he is the place where the orders of the Lord are revealed. The seekers who know this do not lose this even when their sheikh passes away. This was illustrated by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, when the Messenger of Allah, Allah's prayers and peace be upon him, died. Everyone at that time was confused and agitated except for Abu Bakr. Nothing changed with Abu Bakr because of the establishment of the secret of slavehood in his heart. The magnitude of that secret became apparent on that day. The person in the station of slavehood realizes by direct tasting that everything other than Allah is a slave to Allah. That is the place of manifestation of the reality or truth, al-haq, so that he becomes always needy for everything, because in reality his need is established only for Allah. If the slavehood of every slave is established properly, the conditions for his becoming the master of existence are met. He orders in the manner that his master orders, and he is always in increase. The tongue of his state shows us that the order with him comes from witnessing. All faces are turned to him. In the same manner that the angels prostrated, he is ennobled in exaltation and he is humbled in his strength. He is then the seeker and the sought. In conclusion, it can be said that keeping company with those who inspire your arrival to Allah is keeping the company of Allah. And to set one's gaze on the Gnostic of Allah is setting one's gaze on Allah. Since the Gnostic has no trace of anything inside of him other than what is inside of him for Allah, he becomes pure light from the light of Allah in the station of slavehood. In hadith, it is related that Allah has men who, if anyone sets their eyes on them, they reach an everlasting happiness that is not tinted with any distress. In another hadith, it says that Allah says that the fire does not touch a Muslim who has seen me, who has seen one who has seen me. The slavehood, which has no trace of lordship, is true only for the perfect man in Sun al-Kamil. If our soul is ignorant of the knowledge of its essence, that is death, and bodies become graves. If it gains knowledge, then the day of gathering is confirmed, and from that it gains new life. Know that the world is between light and darkness, and any other description is a lie. Back to he who knows himself knows his Lord. Allah then addresses the spirit by some of its names. He says from Quran 89:27-8, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ya tuhan nafsul mutahanina arji'i illa rabbika rabbiki radiyata mardiya. O you soul whose self is at peace, return to your Lord, well-pleased, well-pleasing. And he orders the spirit to enter among his worshippers to actualize vicegerency, khalifa. In this way, the self becomes dressed in the garments of eternal perfection and full wakefulness, al-kamulat al-abadiyya. May the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon the Master of humanity, the lamp in the darkness and the best of all creatures. And may the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon his family and companions, who gain the blessing of accompanying him by their best qualities, which enable them to arrive at the station of the pole, Maqam al-Qutbiyah. Know, my beloved, that walking in the way of the truth is the way of establishing the character traits of the prophets. Akhalak al-Nabaya, the messengers, and the elite among the pious people. Allah describes these people. He says in Quran 15:42, Bismillah. Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultanun illa manittaba'aka minal ghawin. Truly you, Iblis, have no power over my worshippers. This potential achievement belongs to those for whom Allah has made the way available. The family of those chosen for purity and the possessors of full readiness for perfection, come Allah, and for untainted natural characteristics, al-tabayi al-salima. They have no desire for the pleasures of this world, the dunya, or the next, akhira. Their hearts are completely directed toward their owner, al-Malikahum. And they find no rest but in remembering him. Their only sustenance is reciting his name morning and evening. They long for the sunset of their egoistic selves, as birds yearn to build their nests, because they are always in the world of seeking forgiveness and remembrance, thicker, early in the morning or late at night. When the night settles and darkness intensifies, and every lover is finally alone with his beloved, they stand on their toes, ready for their beloved Allah. They talk intimately with Him, thanking Him for His gifts and favors. You see some of them calling for Him, weeping, begging, invoking, moaning, standing or bowing or prostrating. This is a characteristic of walking the way to the truth. They sell the pleasures of the senses for the manifestation of hidden insights. The walking is difficult for one who descends to a prison and to the lowest of the low, indulging in animal behavior and becoming imprisoned by habitual wrong action. These people are caught in a net of disagreeable behavior, and the light that Allah threw on His people when He created the creation in the darkness has not touched them. This is expressed in the noble Hadith al-Sharif. Allah created people in darkness, but then threw upon them His light. So whomever was touched by that light is guided, and whomever was not touched by that light became confused and strayed, and remained in that state and was not guided to the safe shore. Al-Amina. Know that the levels of this way are well known to its family. The traveler on the path, the As-Salik, must walk through these levels one after the other until he arrives at the end. At the end, the walking rests, but the epiphanies, atajaliyat, do not cease, because the divine revelation is endless. Tajaliyat, in a footnote, is translated as theophany. This is what the people of Allah mean when they say, the ascending never stops, even after death. The state of the salik is like that of the traveler who passes by stations on his way to Allah. Just as the traveler needs a guide who knows the way and has provision for the way, a vehicle in which to travel, and a companion, the traveler on the path needs the guide who knows the way, its goodness and its danger. His provision is consciousness of Allah and guarding himself from evil, taqwa. The vehicle in which he travels is ardent effort, al-himma. And he needs companions that become his brethren who pursue the same way. The voyager, salik, also needs weapons that protect him from enemies, the shaitan and his nafs. These weapons are the godly names, and just as a traveler passes through countries and cities, visiting and then leaving them to continue toward his final destination, the traveler on the path, the as-salik, passes by the stations that are well known to the people of Allah. There are seven of these stations. The first station is the station of dark inclinations, where the soul, an-nafs, is called the self that commands, an-nafs al-ammara. The second station is the station of the lights, where the soul is called the self that blames, an-nafs al-lawama. The third station is the station of the secrets, where the soul is called the inspired self, an-nafs al-muhamma. The fourth station is the station of completion and perfection, Maqam al-Kamal, where the soul is called the tranquil, secure self, An-Nafs al-Mutma'inna. The fifth station is the station of connection, Ta'aluk, or reunion and communion, Maqam al-Wisal, where the soul is called the contented and pleasing self, An-Nafs al-Radiya. The sixth station is the station of the epiphanies, Tajalli, of divine action, where the soul is called the pleased self, An-Nafs al-Mardiya. The seventh station is the station of the epiphanies of the names and the qualities, where the soul is called the perfect self, An-Nafs al-Kamila. When a person arrives in one of these stations, the station which is higher is still veiled to him. So whoever is in the first station is veiled and cannot witness the lights, al-anwar. Whoever is in the second station is veiled by the lights and cannot witness the secrets, al-asrar. And whoever is in the third station is veiled by the secrets and cannot witness the perfection, al-kamal. Whoever is in the fourth station is veiled by the perfection and does not have the spiritual state of communion with the contingent essence, the wisal. And whoever is in the fifth station, the communion, al-wisal, veils him from the epiphanies of actions, tajalliyatul afal. And whoever is in the sixth station is veiled by the epiphanies of the actions, from the epiphanies of the names and the qualities, Jaliyatul Azmal Wasifat. And whoever is in the seventh station is veiled by the epiphanies of the names and the qualities, from the epiphanies of the essence, Tajalli Adat. Returning to the sentence, the footnote for the word contingency in the phrase, whoever is in the fourth station is veiled by the perfection and does not have the spiritual state of communion with the contingent essence, misal. Contingency means that a thing is incidental to something else, or dependent for its existence or occurrence on something else, happening by chance or without known cause, and is accidental. Know that the epiphany of the essence is prevented because of its blinding effect, in a way similar to being blinded by the sun when you look directly at it. This is why it is said that the real Al-Haq does not reveal his essence, Ad-Dhat, to his existing creatures in epiphanies, except from beyond the veil of the names. So the highest station, maqam, of arrival is the epiphany of the names and the qualities. Regarding the epiphany of the essence, it is impossible for the people of Allah who remember him, but who do not fully comprehend his essence. In the following chapters of this book, the epiphany of the actions, the names and the qualities will be explained to you in detail, if Allah so wills. Know that it is narrated in the authentic noble Hadith al-Sharif that there are 70,000 dark and luminous veils between the worshipping slave and his Lord. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, Allah has 70,000 dark and luminous veils. Were he to remove them, The glories of his face would burn away everything perceived by the sight of his creatures. However, being veiled is a characteristic of the slave and not of Allah. For Allah cannot be veiled. If he willed, he would have had someone who could suppress him. But on the contrary, he is the irresistible or overpowering al-Qahir, and the suppressor or overwhelming al-Qahhar, far above his creation. So the one who is veiled is, in fact, the slave. And with the word veil, there is a footnote sending us to the path to Allah Most High, with the chapter called The Veil. The Veil. The veil is what separates the human from the nearness of Allah. This can either be a veil of light, which is for the spirit, or a dark veil, which is for the body. All the inner senses in the nafs, the heart, the mind, the spirit, secrets, and the hidden, each one has a veil. The veil of the nafs is the appetite and pleasure. The veil of the heart is to see other than al-haq. The veil of the mind is its stopping with rational meanings. Everyone who is empowered by appetite and pleasure is veiled from the knowledge of the nafs. Everyone who is veiled from the knowledge of the nafs is distanced from the knowing of Allah. Those who see other than al-haq are distanced from al-haq, and no doubt they will be prevented from the arrival of the heart. Whoever stops with rational understanding is at a distance from the perfection of the mind, because the perfection of the mind is to witness or to see the essence of Allah and his attributes, and not to stop with rational meanings. The philosophers say that the essence of the mind, or the mind itself, or the power of the mind, is in accordance with the lifting of the veils and the purity of the first mind. The meaning of things perceived become proofs, and the secret of perceived things are accessed. And this is called sensory unveiling and should not be relied upon. The veil of the secret is to stop with the secrets. If you have an unveiling which reveals the secret of creation and the wisdom of the existence of everything, this is called divine revelation. If you are mistaken, or you stop with this unveiling and this station and believe that this is the original purpose, then this veiling or this understanding becomes a veil, which stops the walking. It's necessary to take the next step. As for the unveiling of the spirit, or the soul, this is a spiritual unveiling. In this station, the veiling imposed by time, place, and direction is lifted. Past and future become one. This is the place where most miracles happen. So it is important for the seeker in this station not to be enamored, because these are all veilings of the soul. As for the veiling of the hidden, this is the sense of arrogance and greatness. This is the station of the unveiling of the attributes. It is imperative that you take a step forward so that you may reach the station of the unveiling of the essence and the true lights. The one who has arrival is the one who does not pay attention to any of these things. The veiling of the darkness is like the appetite of the stomach. It is oppression and severity, all the condemned qualities and all the expressions of the lust of the nafs. The light veils are the manifestation of subtlety, beauty, and all the beautiful qualities. It's said that the veil is the rusting of the heart. By this we mean the appearance of the pictures of created things in the heart. This leaves no room for the manifestation of the tajalli of the realities. The appearance of all of these pictures of creation in the heart is what is called rusting, which is a blackness. The veil can also be understood as seeing others. Look at the prophet who said, the saying of the prophet, may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him. Allah has 70,000 veils of light and darkness. Had he uncovered or unveiled them, they would burn. Glory be to his face. No one of his creation has reached him through seeing. Returning to He Who Knows Himself's text. This is the meaning of veiling to the people of authentic realization. So understand, because it is very subtle and precisely accurate. Do not think of the veils as the indulgence of appetite, and do not think that being away from Allah is being away in distance, as the people of literal and short understanding think. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far beyond physical nearness and distance, and He is beyond time and space, and He is beyond all the characteristics of temporary existence. Traveling in the way is the removal of the 70,000 veils and is accomplished by walking through the 7 mentioned stations. In each station, the self is veiled by 10,000 veils. The first veil is denser than the second veil, and the second veil is denser than the third. And this density continues decreasing until the 10,000th veil. Also, the veils of each self, or nafs, in a particular station are denser than the veils of the self in a higher station. Whenever the traveler reaches one of the stations, he claims that he has arrived at the presence of Allah, but as you now understand, if he, for example, is in the first station, he is far from Allah because his nafs command him to evil. I will later mention the characteristic of the commanding nafs and the characteristics of the nafs in other levels, so that the traveler can know which station he is in, because there are known characteristics for each level of the nafs. Each nafs has its world and its state and its station and must walk in a particular way. The nafs of the commanding self is veiled by dark veils, but in other stations the nafs is veiled by luminous veils. Some of these veils are more subtle than others, and therefore if the traveler in the first station is taught the first name that he must invoke, and he continues to invoke this name in the early morning, late night, loudly, quietly, publicly, and secretly, standing and sitting, Allah will light a kingly lamp within his inner being from the blessing of that name. So he begins to see the ugly qualities which have become his habit. And he begins to hate these ugly habits and to regret what he has missed and the time that has passed while he was heedless and unmindful of what is ugly and what is beautiful, except by mere words and claims. So he enthusiastically strives to rid himself of these ugly habits, even if they are adultery and alcoholism. And if he strives to rid himself of the inner evils such as arrogance and envy and malice, the more the worshipping slave increases his invocation and remembrance, the more he hates his offensive actions. And his effort to rid himself of these ugly habits becomes extreme. Such matter is realized by those who pursue the way, but those who have not experienced it deny it. This is the first favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors the traveler with in order to help him walk the path. There are gifts in each station, maqam. In fact, many gifts characterize the compassionate opening. As the traveler continues to remember and to strive, his nearness to his Lord strengthens until he reaches the lofty degrees of perfection. It is common for some to become lazy, and their negligence prevents them from ascending to lofty degrees. These people do not become conscious beyond their physical senses. Today, the cornerstones of the path, of the people who have realized the truth, al-muhakkikin, have been destroyed, and their traces are disappearing. Its family has died, and nothing remains of the road but its name. This is why I am writing this message, in which I explain how to travel the road to Allah. And I describe the states of those who are traveling the road and explain how to navigate its levels. I will explain what the traveler needs to arrive at the realization of the truth. I will explain what the traveler needs to arrive at the realization of the truth. This ends all the excuses made by the lazy ones who seek to not abide by the law of Allah, the Sharia, and the way of his prophet, the Sunnah ar-Rasul. These people stop with illusion. They stop with pictures and imagination. On the other hand, those who follow the commands of Allah and his messenger become enthusiastic because they desire to arrive at the Lord of the worlds, Rabbil Alameen. O dear traveler on the path, Salik, this is why I will show you how to travel the road to Allah and walk to your Lord and Protector who created you, fashioned you, straightened you, and modified you. He has fashioned you in the image he wills, so understand. I will explain how to walk, how to not go astray. In the following chapters, one after the other, I will show you how to begin and how to walk the levels according to the following order. The first subject concerns the lower world, ad-dunya, and its pleasures and an explanation of its reality. The second subject encourages walking on this path and explains its benefit and mentions the praiseworthy qualities that lead to perfection, kamal. The third subject explains the veils between the slave, al-abd, and his lord, al-rab, and explains what the slave needs in order to tear them apart and remove them from his subtle humanity. This includes an explanation of repentance, at-tawbah, and how to rid oneself of selfishness, as well as how to consider reality apart from causes and effects, etc. The fourth subject explains the commanding self, an-nafs al-ammara, its walking, its world, its location, its state, what it perceives. It also explains its qualities and its ugliness and how to get rid of this and how to ascend from its station to the next one where the nafs become reproachful, an-nafs al-lawam. The fifth subject explains the reproachful self, an-nafs al-lawam, and its beautiful and ugly qualities. The sixth subject explains the inspired self, an-nafs al-muham, and how it gathers good and evil with the beautiful qualities, but is nonetheless the loci of danger. The seventh subject explains the tranquil, secure self, an-nafs al-mutma'inna, and its perfection, al-kamal, compared to the lower levels. The eighth subject explains the satisfied self, an-nafs ar-radiya, and its beautiful qualities. The ninth subject explains the pleased self, an-nafs al-mardiya, and its marvelous qualities. The tenth subject explains the perfect self, an-nafs al-kamala, its nearness and boundless servitude. The 11th subject explains the spiritually mature guide, al-murshid, his qualities and states so that the characteristics of the one who is fit to guide are made known, and the one who is not fit to guide is exposed. It also explains the qualities of a seeker, al-murid, who is able to travel, and the qualities of one who is not capable of traveling. It also explains Iblis, ash-shaytan, and all the types of his manifestation and his appearance to the people in each station, maqam, with what suits them. His cunning plots seek to confuse them and to lead them astray. But before I begin, I would like to explain some definitions and terms used by the people of realization. The first term is Sufi. Becoming a Sufi and following Sufism, at-tasawwuf, is to stand firm in the laws of polite manners, al-adab al-sharia, outwardly and inwardly. The state of the traveling slave, what he says and what he does should be the same. He must abide by the divine law, ash-sharia al-ilahiyya, by all of its commands, and he must avoid all of its prohibitions in everything he says and does. His state must be observant of each breath and movement he makes, and he must abide by Allah's moral ethics, akhlaq, and by the moral ethics and character traits, akhlaq, of his messenger in everything he does. He must follow the actions of the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and act according to the messenger's way. If he does not do this himself and tries to make others not follow, then he is called a person in a hopeless state of infidelity, zindiq, and a transgressor. May Allah give us refuge from him and from this state. The realization, tahakkuk, and the arrival, usul, on the path, at-tariq, cannot take place until you understand the messenger and the heirs of the praiseworthy qualities, al-ghawarithul Muhammadi, and you understand the laws, ash-sharia, and the truth, haqiqa. Anyone who claims that he is purified one, mutasawifa, but does not abide by the law, is in fact corrupt, fasiq. The term atasawuf. The science of purification, atasawuf, is the science of the knowledge of the righteousness of the heart and of how to clean the self's blameworthy character traits, such as envy, jealousy, deception, arrogance, etc. Sufism means to abide by the godly commands and to avoid the godly prohibitions. The next term is Ash-Sharia. Know that the law, Ash-Sharia, is the manifestation of the reality, Al-Hakika, and the reality is the inner truth of the law. They accompany each other and abide by each other. Neither is fulfilled except by the other. Each law that does not approve of reality is unacceptable, just as every truth that does not approve of the law is refuted and its possessor is rejected. The one who has no reality has no law, and the one who has no law has no reality. Truth is to witness lordship within all creatures, seeing the creation through the real Al-Haq, which means to live in accordance to this reality. So one can see Allah in his worship by being actualized in the station of excellence, Maqam al-Ihsan, as is expressed in the saying of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, excellence, al-Ihsan, is to worship Allah as if you are seeing him. The law, Ash-Sharia, is knowing how to walk toward Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to always look toward Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the truth, al-Hakika. The way, at-Tariq, is traveling the road of the law, which means acting in accordance to it because it is the loci of the divine sight. It is in this way that spiritual medicine, al-atib al-ruhi, works, because it's the science of the heart's language, disease and pain. It is also the science of the heart's cure and the maintenance of the heart's health and balance. So this next term is al-tib ar-ruhi. Know that to the people of Sufism, spiritual medicine, al-tib ar-ruhi, involves knowledge of the actions and agitations by which the spiritual heart, al-kab ar-ruhani, reserves health and balance. This can only be practiced by one who possesses the knowledge of what returns health and balance to the spiritual heart. The self, an-nafs, struggles because of its loss of balance, and it gains satisfaction with the restoration of this balance. The next term is at-tabib al-arwa. Also know that the physician of the spirit, at-tabib al-arwa, is the person who has attained the knowledge of the law, ash-sharia, knowledge of the way, at-tariq, and knowledge of the truth, al-haqiqa. He must attain knowledge to an extent that enables him to treat the diseases within the souls, the nafs, of the seekers who seek to arrive to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should be capable of lifting the ruling of the contingency of events and the traits of the physical nature that cause human disease and cause the forgetfulness and the heedlessness of the protector, the Lord of the worlds, the real Al-Haq. These physical traits and events in the world of contingency also take the traveler away from the true moral ethics and character traits, akhlaq, of the human being and toward the unworthy character traits, which are not in harmony and conformity with the secret of existence, the spiritual secret, the spiritual spirit, and the singular heart. Instead, they lead the human being toward the inclination of the animal desires of the lower self, until they prevent the slave from being conscious of reality and from knowledge of the self's origin and from the way that leads to arrival at real perfection, Kamal. Next is Al-Arif. The spiritual physician is the Gnostic, Al-Arif, Sheikh, the Gnostic Sheikh, who knows the one able to perfect, guide, and lead toward spiritual maturity, Irshad. Know that the guide who is the master of wayfaring on the path, Suluk, is the one who has attained knowledge of the spiritual sciences. He is the one who is guided, and so he can guide others to spiritual maturity. He helps whoever seeks his help to attain the levels of the righteous people, As-Salihin. He does so by Allah's favor upon him. He has direct knowledge from the Lord of spiritual medicine. He is the healer and the physician of the spirit by knowledge of the cures which Allah has taught him. He is one who has attained by his piercing insight the station of witnessing. Witnessing the diseases that cross the hearts of the travelers, preventing them from proximity to the presence of the real, Al-Haq, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also sees the cures that heal these diseases, like spiritual practices and resistive methods. By the power of the hidden, he clears the lower world's rust and removes its love from the heart of the seeker until nothing remains of its pollution, taste, deception, and blemish. The next topic is Al-Muraqaba. Know, my beloved, that internal vigilant watching, Al-Muraqabah, means that the slave has firm knowledge that the Lord is watching him in all of his states. His sojourn continues to Allah until he relinquishes his blameworthy qualities to remain in the praiseworthy qualities. He looks by the heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, observing and visualizing the real Al-Haq in everything, so that when the self is about to commit a disobedience, he finds the real watching, feels ashamed, and turns back. If you observe him while you are eating, you will find that he is the one who brought the food to you without any power and strength from you, and he is also the one who moves your hand to pick up the food you are eating. He's the one who gave you the ability to raise the food to your mouth, and he's also the one who moves your mouth and makes your saliva flow. He's also the one who created in you the power to enjoy food. Then he is the one who leads the food to your stomach and gives your body energy and order. He is the one who disciplines you. So learn that there is no actual doer save him. If this meaning becomes strong within you, it will clarify your actions and unify the essence of that. And when the mastery of watching, Al-Muraqabah, increases, you will see that he is the eternal for his slave without action. This is the meaning of witnessing, Mushahada, witnessing everything. But this is a tasting matter, a dhok, a tasting matter, and the mind cannot grasp it, and none knows it, except the family of attentive care and the purified ones. The next section is called Unveiling Mukashafa and Witnessing Ushahada. And it tells us to go to, in the footnote, to go to the path to Allah Most High in the chapter that's entitled The Witnessing. The Witnessing. Witnessing is the seeing of the haq by the haq. That is, the seeing of the haq in every atom of existence without making any likeness, because this does not suit His Majesty. That is what you realize in your heart with certainty by what you witness of truth, without having any trace of seeing any imperfection in what you witness from the perfection. Your witnessing should be based on seeing things with proofs of the unity, and seeing the haq in things on the basis of the reality of certainty. Witnessing is connecting the seeing of the heart with the seeing of the outward. This is based on the saying of the Prophet, may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him, who said, "Worship your God as if you see him." Then you will be present in your witnessing. You will be using perceptions that combine outward and inward sensory perceptions. These two aspects are united in perception. The necessary condition for having this combination is a light in the witnessing that removes the darkness of the veils and then replaces the veils so that the haq is seen by His lights, so that everything other than the haq is annihilated by the appearance of the haq. Witnessing has different levels or ranks, and among these are the witnessing of the middle level. The people of the path are those of the middle level. This witnessing refers to the station of the middle, which is in between the murid and the end, because the murid has at-tajali at the beginning of his journey in sensory witnessing. The witnessing of the people of arrival, this is the highest rank of witnessing. It is to witness the whole in the particular, so that the witnesser sees everything and yet is not veiled in witnessing al-haq from witnessing creation, nor is he veiled in witnessing creation from seeing him, exalted is he. As for seeing the particular in the whole, I mean by this the perfection of the majesty of the essence, the holy, the one, the unique. This is his manifestation to himself, with all the aspects of his unity, its affairs and its determinations, which express the essence of his unity and appear in their varied forms according to their ranks. As for witnessing the whole in the particular, it is the witnessing of the unity in the presence, so that the one essence appears to itself with the expression of the manifestations that are expressed through the ranks. When the seeker is in the station of witnessing and he is under the influence of the tajalli and he tastes the satisfaction, the lights of the unseen become manifest to his heart. If his being was with the essence, then the veil of humanity is removed from him and the mirror of his heart is purified or clarified from the traces of human qualities. This is the case of the slave who has the propensity to receive divine tajalli. If this condition is met, the haq reveals himself to the slave and he gains what he desires. Know that the elect in creation are in continuous reception of tajalli from Allah. This is in compliance with his saying, "Worship Allah as if you see him." It came in the hadith that when Allah manifests himself to anything, their sight goes in awe. This is in accordance with his saying, when the mountain received At-Tajalli from its Lord, it was pounded and Musa fell into a swoon. If the Tajalli has its beginning in the essence, without any regard to any quality, this is called the Tajalli of the essence. And if the Tajalli has its origin in a quality, then this is the creation called At-Tajalli of the quality. And if it is based on an action from Allah, then this is called At-Tajalli of the actions. The Tajalli of the attributes is what is revealed to the heart of the seeker from the names of Allah. If the Tajalli upon the seeker is from one of the names, then the seeker is annihilated in the lights of that name, so that when Allah is called upon by the name, then the seeker will answer. The Tajalli of the attributes is what is revealed to the heart of the attribute, so that if the Tajalli for the seeker is with an attribute that leads to the fana in that attribute, then the seeker displays the qualities of that attribute as a gift from Allah. For example, if the haq makes At-Tajalli with the attribute of hearing, then the seeker would be able to hear the expressions of rocks and other things. And if the haq is called upon by that attribute, the traveler, As-Salik, with the annihilation in that attribute would answer. The Tajalli of the actions is what is revealed to the heart of the seeker from the actions of Allah. So that if the haq makes At-Tajalli upon the seeker with his action, then what is revealed to the seeker is the power of Allah in things, so that he is able to see that Allah is the mover and the stiller. He knows this by witnessing, and it is only known by its people. Those who are under this Tajalli may easily slip, because the seeker who is under the influence of this Tajalli denies that the slave has any connection to action coming from himself. Then Allah makes steadfast those who have iman by the word that stands firm. Know that the Tajalli of the actions precedes the Tajalli of the attributes and the names, so that if the seeker is steadfast and establishes the limits established by the Sharia, while witnessing that the mover and the stiller is Allah, then he may advance from this dangerous Tajalli to the Tajalli of the names and the attributes. But if he is not steadfast, he may fall into disbelief or wrong belief, slipping from the way and falling to the lowest of the low. And there is no power except by Allah. We come back to unveiling Mukashava and witnessing Mushahada. Know that unveiling Mukashava, unveiling is the presence of the heart with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that witnessing Mushahada, witnessing is the presence with the witnessed. Witnessing is a consciousness in which the outer and the inner senses unite. And that which demands this unity is a light from the mighty witnessed that erases the darkness of the ego self's veils and substitutes them so that the real al-haq is seen by his own light, and all otherness annihilates by his manifestation. Nonetheless, witnessing is of many levels, such as witnessing the levels themselves, and witnessing the intermediaries, which is the station of the intermediary because between the seeker and the ultimate end, al-muntaha. This is because to the seeker in the beginning of the matter, the real reveals himself in the epiphany of a live manifestation. But beyond that level, there is the witnessing of the end ones, al-muntahiyin, the end ones, which is the highest station of witnessing. It is seeing the unity in the manifestation, so that the Gnostic sees everything and is not veiled from seeing the real, al-haq, by seeing the creation. And although he is fully consumed in him, he is not veiled from seeing the creation by seeing the real Al-Haq, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Witnessing the manifestation in the unity means witnessing the perfection of the holy essence of the one and the only Al-Wahid Al-Ahad. It is his manifestation to his self with all the considerations of his singularity and what it demands, and with all the characteristics included in the eyes of his unity, such as the image of the single being manifesting eternally in the details of the levels of existence. At Tajali is the next term. The footnote reads revelation, divine disclosure or epiphany, translated as manifesting himself in theophany or divine theophany or manifestation. Know that from the perspective of the slave, al-abd, of the slave, the divine epiphany, at-tajali, the divine epiphany is the removal of human veils and the polishing of the rust of the natural character traits of humanity from the heart's mirror. Know that for the elite of the creatures, there is continuous epiphany from Allah to their hearts, and so they worship Allah as if they are seeing Him. The hadith, indeed, when Allah reveals himself in an epiphany to a thing, this thing is humbled to him, is expressed in his saying, when Allah revealed himself in epiphany to the mountain, he made it come to dust and Musa fell thunderstruck. Know that the first epiphany was the manifestation of the essence, adhat, to his self, in the first seeing without any of the qualities. Nonetheless, many of the loyal friends of Allah, al-awliya, the loyal friends of Allah deny this and say that the first epiphany, at-tajali, would not have happened except through the manifestation of one of the qualities. So the first epiphany, at-tajali, the first epiphany becomes an epiphany of the names, asma. Epiphany of the names which is in close proximity to the epiphany of the qualities, the sifat. But its beginning is one of the qualities as it becomes designated, tayin, and differentiated, tafsil, from the essence, adhat. Regarding the epiphany of the qualities, it is referred to as the epiphany of the qualities, but its beginning is an action, afal, an action of his actions, and can therefore be called the manifestation of actions. The epiphany of the names is what is revealed to the heart of the traveler. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals himself to the traveler in an epiphany by a name of his names, the seeker becomes absent and is annihilated under the lights of that name to the degree that when the real al-haq is called by that name, the traveler answers. Regarding the epiphany of the qualities, this is the revelation of the qualities of the names to the heart of the traveler. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals himself in an epiphany to the traveler by a particular quality of his qualities, knowing that the qualities of the traveler are annihilated, some of the traces of this particular quality will manifest through the traveler by the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if Allah reveals himself upon the traveler by the quality of all hearing, as-sami'a, the traveler can hear even the speech of solid objects and the speech of other creatures. It is in this way that the traces of the other qualities also manifest upon the traveler. Regarding the epiphany of the actions, al-af'al, this is what is revealed to the heart of the traveler concerning Allah's actions. If the real al-haq reveals himself upon the traveler by his actions, the flow of Allah's power within the creatures will be revealed to the traveler so he can see that Allah is the mover and the one who brings the creature to a halt. The traveler will be able to witness this live action, and none know this except the family who are worthy of it. The loci of this epiphany is the possessor of the truthful feet, al-hab al-aqdam, the possessor of the truthful feet among the chosen people of the path, the elite among the special. This is a dangerous epiphany because it completely negates the belonging of the actions to the slave. But Allah makes those who believe firm by the consistent word. Know that the epiphany of actions precedes the epiphany of qualities, and so if the traveler is firm and does not cross the legal limits, he can move forward from this dangerous epiphany to the epiphany of the names and the qualities. But if he does not become firm in holding on to the law, he will become one who does not follow, and one who also tries to make others not follow, zindiq. And he will leave the path and descend to the lowest of the low. And there is no power or strength except by Allah, the Most High, Al-Ali, and the Tremendous, Al-Azim. The next definition of terms is ashaq, S-H-A-W-Q, yearning or longing. Know, my beloved, that longing, ashaq, is the need of the heart to meet the beloved. Love is a natural inclination towards something because it is pleasurable. But the love of the travelers to Allah is the inclination of their hearts to the beauty of the godly presence. The longing which they experience overwhelms love by an extreme inclination to join the one who is longing with the one whom he longs for. It seeks to unite the one who is consumed by love with the one who consumed him with love, al-ishq. The footnote for ishq is passionate ardor, the deep secret love of oneness, holy consuming love. The state of al-ishq is greater than any word or even signs can express. The highest level of love, containing all the stations of love, yearning, ecstasy, passion, amazement, and annihilation, are all a part of this love. Back to the text. Sufis consider this longing, shaq, to be a serious disease, because longing is for one who is absent, and the real al-haq is ever present and is never absent. This is why Sufi doctrine is based on witnessing al-mushahada. The reality of longing is a fire that takes over the heart, and it has no cure except meeting the beloved. Some of the Sufis have said, longing is a fire that emerges in the heart, causing a separation between the one who is longing and the one for whom he longs, but when the meeting occurs, this fire is extinguished. Most of the secrets are known by witnessing the beloved without longing. A Sufi was once asked, "Do you long for Allah?" And he answered, "No, because longing is for someone absent. And he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is ever present." This is a lofty way, tariqa, which originated by uniting ardent effort, al-himma, with longing, ashok, to reach attainment. As for the signs of this longing, they manifest with the success of turning the senses from the lower desires and away from appetites, so that the person longs only for his Lord. Know that the meaning of love is more refined than any thought and is concealed more than the secrets. Love does not enter a heart, but it tears it apart so that the heart becomes bewildered. Both the beauty, al-jamal, and the majesty, al-jalal, appear to it, so that it disappears and evolves and renounces the garden of Jannah and becomes familiar with the fire. This is the fire of love. The next term is al-hal, H-A-L. Know that the state, al-hal, the state is a meaning that crosses the heart without pretension, stimulation, or earning. It may be a state of sadness, contraction, expansion, reverence, delight, etc. But it does not remain in the heart, and so it is called a state, hal. And when the heart fully possesses it, it is called a station, makam. Know that the states are gifts and stations in formation. Stations are also gifts, but in the stations, the earning manifests and the gifting is concealed, which is contrary to states. When the state settles, it transforms to a station. This is achieved by obedience. The slave can sometimes distinguish its causes, but sometimes he cannot. He finds within himself a contraction or an expansion without knowing its cause, or whether it is forgetfulness or heedlessness. Yaqeen, Y-A-Q-I-N, certitude. Know that certitude, yaqeen, certitude is gaining knowledge, ilm, knowledge through the logical intellect by signs. On the other hand, the experience of certitude, ayn al-yaqeen, is gaining knowledge by witnessing. As for the reality of certitude, al-haq al-yaqeen, the reality of certitude, it is gaining knowledge by the annihilation, fana, of the slave's qualities and by his remaining, baqa, in existence by the real, al-haq, through experiencing gnosis, ma'rifa, and witnessing, mushahada. Actually, what is annihilated from the slave is his qualities, not his self. And so the essence of the annihilated slave must persist in existence. The slave's self does not annihilate in the real self as some ignorant people think. On the contrary, as long as the slave approaches Allah in binding servitude, ubudiyah, and as long as he manifests helplessness, and as long as there is annihilation of all the qualities that are in opposition to binding servitude, Allah will gift the slave with his favor and give him the true praiseworthy qualities in substitution for the blameworthy qualities that were annihilated. This is because Allah is powerful over everything, and he is able, and nothing provides for him but his being. No one can prevent what he gives, and no one can give what he prevents. No one can stop what he has decreed, and no one can change his judgment. If Allah favors his helpless slave with a gift, the slave can manage the cosmos by the will of his master. So you must not think that the slave's self is annihilated in the self of the real being, Ad-Dhat al-Haq, because nothing remains in absolute existence except the real. The next term is the secret. Know that the secret is a subtlety of the Lord, and it is the hidden spirit. When it descends a degree, it becomes a spirit, and when it descends another degree, it is called a heart. Know that the self, an-nafs, the self, the spirit, ar-ruh, the heart, al-kab, and the secret, as-sir, S-I-R-R, are names for the one who is named. Know that there is no multiplicity in the multiple names, for they are mere names of the one being named. The explanation of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human's spirit from the pure, chosen, godly light, which he originated by the contraction of the lordly cloud, al-amma'ar-arabni, which he made to dwell in the spirit's locus in which it remains in perfect gnosis of Allah. Thus the original and true human spirit is settled in his love and unity and has gnosis of his names and qualities and does not turn to otherness and does not care but for him. It remains like this in ultimate purity and is far beyond what the mind can grasp. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then made the spirit dwell in the vessel of the human body, and as it settled, the body gained movement and consciousness. When the spirit dwells within the body, it is named nafs. The nafs is the subtle vapor that carries the power of life, motion, and consciousness. So the condition of nafs exists. But the nafs itself does not exist because it is formed by the unity of the spirit with the body. And when they separate, the nafs, or the individual self, disappears from existence. The nafs is then the subtle vapor and is the source of all blameworthy characteristics and diseased qualities as long as it rules the slave. Expressed in another way, the spirit is captured by the hand of the individual self, the nafs. The pursuit of the selfish nafs is only to satisfy itself, but the fact is that this desire leads to its destruction because it is removed from the godly presence in accordance with the luminous intensity of the original spirit. This happens when the spirit settles in the body and is polluted by blemish and disease, and the ruling of the evil ego takes over so that the person becomes corrupt, fasik, and strays from the command of his Lord. And as long as the spirit inclines to disobedience and opposition, and follows the descending desires, it is called the commanding self or the ego self, an-nafs al-amara, because the nafs in the station commands to evil. But when the godly lights pass by the nafs, they drive out some of the offensive qualities and the opposition and lead the nafs through repentance, in which it begins to scold and blame itself and to regret its transgression of the godly rites. In this station, the spirit is called the blaming self, an-nafs al-lawam, because of its reproachful nature. If godly lights pass by the nafs, they demand departure from dense disobedience, as in the major sins. But minor opposition remains. The nafs is then called heart because it smells the fragrance of the Holy Presence. This fragrance stirs the nafs, and the heart longs for its original place in eternity. But sometimes the dense layers of physical nature overcome the heart, and it seeks to fulfill its desire. It is for this reason that it is called heart, kalb, because it constantly fluctuates in states. However, if the godly light emanates upon the soul from the Holy Presence, it demands the purification of all dense and subtle opposition to the divine will. In this station, the spirit is named the secured, tranquil self, an-nafs al-mutma'inna. Nonetheless, the nafs is still inclined to other than Allah. Even though the self glorifies him, some deviation remains because the self is not fully upright. But when Allah emanates the godly light which demands the destruction of choice and everything familiar by a return to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, naked from everything except Him, then in this station the soul is called the contented self, an-nafs ar-radiya. In spite of this, there still remains some traces of what was destroyed inside the heart. These traces are like scars from the past. But when the existence of the self is eradicated and the witnessing of the existence of the self completely disappears, the greatest light of the godly emanation, al-Fa'id al-Ilahi, occurs. In the language of the Gnostics, it is described as the greatest opening, al-Fath al-Zam. In the station, the soul's senses and comprehension is non-existent, so that there is no sign, there is no illustration and no name, and no witnessing except witnessing the real, al-haq, by the real, in the real, for the real, from the real. This is expressed in the language of the Gnostics as annihilation of the annihilation, fana of the fana. Contentment of the Creator is complete, and the soul is named the pleased soul, an-nafs al-mardiya. And when he emanates upon the soul from the lights of the Holy Presence, what is demanded by its distinctive rank? He gives the soul knowledge of its qualities and of what rightfully belongs to it. And when the soul encompasses the levels with knowledge and attains the obligation of all the levels with their specific demands in general and in detail, then in this station the soul is named the perfect soul, an-nafs al-kamila. And when he emanates upon the soul from the lights of the Holy Presence, that which demands the destruction of all illusions and expressions of the sense perceptions, and when this becomes the outward and inward quality of the self, of the nafs, then in this station the self is named the hidden, al-khafi. And when he emanates upon the soul from the lights of the Holy Presence, that which demands what is related to the first purity, as sunlight is related to the night, then in this station the self is named the most concealed, al-akhfa. In this manner the soul continues to ascend in every station and earns, due to the outflowing of epiphanies, gnosis, knowledge of the sciences, secrets, and openings. The station above the station of the most hidden is named the station of the most extreme. The next station is named the station of the secret, then the secret of the secret, then the secret of the secret of the secret. In the fourth station, these names are repeated in the same manner as you ascend the five levels which follow. And then the 10 levels, and the ascent continues like this eternally in the garden of the cosmos. Know that the world of the presence of the qualities or the corporeal world, alam al-mulk. The corporeal world is the world of witnessing, alam al-shahada. It is dense, katith, and actualized by sense perception. But the spiritual world, alam al-malakut, is the world of subtle, latif meanings, and contains the garden, al-jannah, the throne, al-arsh, and the seat, al-kursi, etc. So one can be conscious of the corporeal world through sense perception and imagination, and on the other hand, conscious of the spiritual world through the intellect, understanding and comprehension. Regarding the world of possibility and power, alam al-jabrut, one can become conscious of it through both sense perception and what that entails in the intellect and what it entails. Not as in the beginning state, but in another state. The fourth world is that which might, al-qadir, did not manifest, and it contains that which cannot be comprehended in all the worlds. Then know that to be actualized by Allah means that the creature has no share. This is the epiphany of the essence, at-tajalli ad-dhat, which, as explained before, is impossible. So understand. Regarding this Abu Bakr, the believer, may Allah be pleased with him, said, the incapacity to comprehend consciousness is comprehension. Because the traveler moves through stations, and in every station, a light of the essence of the light of being is revealed to him in accordance with his readiness and receptivity. And by that light, he knows his Lord and Creator. But if he continues ascending the stations, thinking that he has full knowledge, he will arrive at a station in which he will realize that the essence of being, a thought, has the peculiarity that he cannot be known. In this station, he declares, the incapacity to comprehend consciousness is comprehension. This means that he has indeed comprehended that the essence of pure being, a thought, cannot be fully known, and that this is the highest station. But do not be deceived, thinking that the possessor of this station has not attained, because, on the contrary, whoever has not arrived at this station is lacking in gnosis. But the one who arrives at this station is the one who has perfect gnosis. And this is why in this station the traveler invokes Allah, saying, my Lord, increase my knowledge. From Quran 20:114. Bismillah. Fata'alla Allahul Malikul Haq Wala ta'kjal bil Qur'ani min qabli an yuqta ilayka wahyu wa kuhu rabbi ridni ilma. My Lord, increase me in knowledge. Or he invokes, my Lord, increase my bewilderment of you. And he refers to the bewilderment that occurs at the beginning of traveling. So understand, because this is very subtle and free from error, and know that the reality, al-haqqa, of the real, al-haq, cannot be completely known except by the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala. End of the first chapter. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alaminir rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amin, amin, amin. So Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.